The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
A recent study shows that white-tailed deer have antibodies for COVID-19. These deer can be found in every state in the U.S. except Alaska. Researchers with the USDA took blood samples of more than 600 deer across the U.S. During this study, 40% of those deer had antibodies for COVID-19. This was the first study of its kind. The research did not include deer in the state, but if a deer does contract the virus, Ballard said it is short-lived and they do not get sick.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, is that not a bizarre story? I mean, it's pretty amazing. I'll tell you more about that coming up here, but it doesn't get more weird than that when it comes to COVID. I mean, this is so bizarre. You know, people losing smell, losing taste, having nails go blue, fingers go blue, weird spots, you know, headaches, fatigue, respiratory problems, a whole litany of things. Now we are seeing this. And look, what I'm going to share with you, I just want you to take is Drew Mariani's personal word. It's not reflective of Relevant Radio, the church, or anybody else. I had a friend about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, when, or maybe a little bit longer than that, when the vaccine came out, right, and everybody started to get their vaccinations, and he's connected to let's call her a visionary or a mystic, right? She has this special relation with God. She has the stigmata. She's the real deal. I know her. I've met her. I really believe in her, right? And I said to this person, I said, "Hey, I said this is good news. Maybe we'll you know, 2021 will be a better year. Maybe we'll get COVID behind us. We can get life back, you know, and maybe things will change." And he said to me, he says, "Well, Drew, pray a lot." And he says, "Because I just spoke to, and I'll keep her name anonymous, and she says just when people think things are going to get better, it's not. There'll be more manifestations, more versions, more viruses and flus." I'm thinking, what? No way. Come on. You know, I mean, we've been able to target this. There's been lockdowns. There's, you know, medical teams working on this. This thing will get behind us. You know, it's not going to be that. But true to the prophecy, what did we see afterwards? We saw, you know, South African variants, British variants. We've had a number of our own variants. And then they started to scrub the names instead of saying the Indian variant. You know, we have the Delta variant and the Lambda variant and all these other variants. In fact, there is right now a new one. Can you believe this? Yeah. Check this out. First detected in South Africa, it was labeled C.1.2, starting now to make its way around the world. And scientists are concerned. They're concerned because it's the most mutated version yet. The varieties of COVID, they seem to be endless. Seems to be, I don't know, right on the mark with what this woman said. In fact, she's the second person. Back in 1992 or 3, maybe even earlier than that, 91. I don't know what it was. It was the early 90s, right? Sound like an old man. Back in the 1990s, you know, try to get the right, who cares what year it is, right? Back in the early 90s when I was filming a documentary with a mystic in South America. Her name was Maria Esperanza. She had said the same thing. She warned about a couple things. Now, this woman's now a servant of God. She prophesied the birth of my first daughter. I had 3 sons. I was convinced I was having a fourth. It told my wife and I that we were pregnant before we even knew it. She went ahead and prophesied the collapse of the World Trade Towers. Whoever thought that would happen, right? And a whole litany of other things. She warned that she warned that we shouldn't go into to Iraq. She would suffer like a victim soul would, take on the pains and the sufferings of many popes. She suffered what John Paul went through. I mean, she was a mystic of the highest order. And I won't go into her whole story right now. There's a lot we can talk about. Maybe one day I'll camp out on her and tell you a little bit more about it. But one thing she did say that was striking, and again, this is my own personal reflection. Not reflective of Relevant, not reflective of the church or anything else. You take it for what it is. Take that grain of salt. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, God's will is a mystery, and his plan is far beyond my comprehension. But he does pull back the veil. He does give us prophets. In the Old Testament, we saw that. And in the New Testament, now in this new era of the resurrection, post-resurrection, I think God still communicates us. Look at the Sacred Heart devotion. Look at St. Faustina. Look at the Fatima seers and their predictions. And in our own day and age, there is a flurry. There is a, there's a lot, let me just put it this way, of these types of individuals that God is communicating through. And this one, this Maria Esperanza, she said, pray much for China, for the yellow race will stand up, she said. Now, I don't have her exact quote in front of me. I'm going to dig back into my notes and try to find that. The yellow race will stand up. She says, there will be strange new viruses and plagues that will affect the earth, right? And there was this beautiful image. She was an artist, too. She painted of Our Lady. And the only thing standing between the world and there was China in the background. Anything standing between China and the rest of the world was Our Lady shining these lights upon them. I remember that image. It was striking. And she gave us this particular prophecy. I didn't think twice about it. Russia, you know, the Iron Curtain was still up when a lot of this was going down. And, you know, Russia was the big threat of the day. And the U.S. is a superpower. And China, you know, fast forward. Look what we're seeing. COVID spreading from a Wuhan lab, you know. We're seeing strange new viruses and plagues, and true to both of these women, she said there will be more. I don't know how much more. I do know it's an opportunity for us to get on our knees, to pray, to ask God for his mercy, right, to accept this type of suffering and to do a self-evaluation, to reevaluate our lives, what we are attached to, you know. What do we place greater emphasis on? Our money, our careers, you know, our relationships, all these other things, and where's God in that mix? That's something that I think these events sometimes make us think about. If I was down in New Orleans, if I was down anywhere in the path of Hurricane Ida or those floodwaters, you realize how finite you are, right? You realize how limited you truly are, that God is in control of everything, including nature and your health, right? I was saying to Maggie before the program, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. There are, right out of Scripture, right? It's Matthew 24, 25, one of those Scripture verses where the Lord talks about wars and rumors of war. Look at the conflicts around the world. Look at China flexing its muscles, you know, off of Taiwan and what's happening in Afghanistan and the Middle East. Strange new viruses and plagues. The earth will rumble and it will shake. We've got fires on the West Coast, devastating, you know, earthquakes in Haiti, flooding now in our southern border. And that's just us. That's just the area I can go around. So it's Matthew 24. 6, actually. And if you want to read that, it's a very haunting scripture where it says, you will hear of wars and rumors of war, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Right? Don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of the birth pangs. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn their faith, turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I don't know when that scripture is going to come to fruition, whether we're seeing the advent of it, whether we're in it, whether it's 2,000 years from now. I don't know. I always found Matthew 24 very telling. Prayer for you, food for thought for you. Let me talk about this deer tick quickly. I want to get back to that in a little bit more. See how I got derailed today? It's so easy. It's one of those days. This is really bizarre. I mean, tick season, Dr. Robert Tabali, who's an infectious disease doc and an expert on Lyme's disease as well, he told me it's one of the worst tick seasons they've seen. And if you're out somewhere, be really careful because Lyme's disease can be crippling on a lot of different levels. But the USDA reported the first deer was found to have COVID-19. That deer was located in Ohio. Okay, officials have no idea how it got infected. How did it get infected? How did a deer get COVID-19? Other animals that have been infected are dogs and cats. Some of your pets, I can understand that. Tigers, lions, snow leopards, otters, gorillas, and minks. Doesn't seem to have much impact on those animal populations, though. Not like it does for us. But we got a lot going on with these mutations, too. You know, that South African variant I was telling you about, that C12. According to the Daily Mail, it was found in South Africa in May. And it has now been found, let's put this on your radar, in England, China, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in New Zealand, in Portugal, in Switzerland. This version, you're probably going to see here in the States. They say it's apparently more easily spread. It mutates much faster than previous versions. Now, I don't know, to be honest with you, how effective these vaccines are against this new mutation. I'm praying to God that they're very effective because a lot of people have been vaccinated. We'll look into that later in the week, okay? I'll dive into this maybe on Wednesday, give you an update again as I try to do at least once a week. But speaking of vaccines, I got to share one last story with you. Because this, when I heard this story this morning, I said, what? I mean, really, I was like, what? The number of places that are demanding employees to get vaccines, right, are on the rise. And I told you this certainly is going to happen, so be prepared for it. Well, did you hear what happened in Chicago? In 90 school bus drivers in Chicago quit their jobs because they don't like, you know, Mayor Lightfoot's demand that they get vaccinated, they get these shots. So they said, we're not going to drive. We're out. They quit their jobs. So what did that do? That left kids unable to get to school. So what did Mayor Lightfoot do? What did the Chicago public school system do? I really should say, get a load of this. You're going to be shocked when you hear this. They are offering students who are affected by this $1,000 for the first 2 weeks of their inconvenience so they can get to school, and then $500 every month thereafter. Now, just to give you some perspective on this, there are something like, I think, 2,100 kids that are going to be affected at least by that. Now, I don't know where they're going to get all that money. It's $2 million plus. Right? They're going to be handing out. Hey, if I was a kid, I would hope I was in that district because a grand gives me a down payment on that car and $500 a month will make that car payment, right? I mean, think about it. Who needs a bus driver when the school's going to pay for my new car or my used car? I mean, think about it. It's like, really? That's a big nut, $500. Maybe they think kids have got to take an Uber. You know, maybe they're not old enough to drive. You know, that's the other thing. You know, and that is the money that more than likely, I'm assuming, would have went to the bus drivers. And therefore, it's getting spread out amongst the kids. But you're talking about millions of dollars a month. I mean, it's a lot of money. And it's not really clear what these kids are supposed to do with it. You know, I'm assuming you pay for an Uber or a taxi, buy a car. And what do you do with your $500 a week or a month that you're going to be getting? So, weird news. I just thought I'd throw that on your radar. Maggie, you have a piece on that, right? Do you have some insight on that? You got to open your mic. Go ahead.
I do have some audio on today is the first day back to school for Chicago for the public school systems. So this is NBC reporting on what that's like for the Chicago school systems.
It is a very exciting day for those students. Now, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she continues to insist that the district's more than 600 schools are safe to welcome all students back. However, the Chicago Teachers Union is concerned that COVID safety measures that took place last year are not happening this year. That's why they're so concerned about it. So despite all that, there's been a lot of back and forth. School is beginning today. So more than 300,000 students are going to be heading back into their buildings. And again, they're going to have to wear their masks, keep their distance, and hopefully have a safe school year.
All right, there you have it. We'll see what happens. School's underway. See what happens with those bus drivers, too. It's just the beginning, though. You're going to see other types of problems like this as well. One other story. I want to talk a little bit about this hurricane as well. That's taking place down south. But before I get to that, again, if you want to join me anytime, it's 888-914-9149. COVID is going to have an impact on supply, and we're seeing that already. And I talked about that a little bit with trucking. You know, we're having a shortage in products. Somebody pointed out to me, it's like, you know, here's a great example of the way you can understand what's happening. Because of COVID, because of the trucking shortage, what ends up happening is Well, you know, you might have your favorite five mustards on the grocery store shelf, right? Well, now you might only have one choice. So things are diminishing. Things are coming down. And we are seeing, you know, supply and delivery delayed. And we are seeing businesses struggling, as many people are talking about, you know, possibly another shutdown in certain areas if indeed this new variant gets out of control. The Delta variant of COVID-19 is spreading rampantly right now across the country. And hospitalizations are going up as it spreads. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal. They reported that there are more than 100,000 people in the hospital, which is the second time this has happened since the pandemic started. And the journal said that the patients with, you know, other illnesses, they returned to hospitals this year, leaving fewer open beds for COVID-19 patients, which, of course, those numbers are soaring. They're running out of oxygen. It's another thing I heard. So the demand is most acute in intensive care units because, you know, hospitals are short-staffed and unable to recruit enough nurses and respiratory therapists who are just exhausted as this pandemic wears on. So we will see. We'll see what happens. Finally, you know, one other thing, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. That's not what I'm here to do. It sounds like it, though, doesn't it? This Open's been, Chris, this first half hour, I'm thinking, holy cow. You know, I'm a man of hope. We will get through this. You know there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're not going to be in the storm forever. All storms pass, right? The sun may go down. It might be dark, but the sun will rise again, and that's the case. My heart goes out to our fellow citizens who are down in the southern part of the country. Because of the devastation from the hurricane that we're seeing there in this unbelievable weather. One final note, just I like to put this stuff on your radar so when it happens, you know, right? Gas prices, they were starting to go down a little bit. I don't know if you saw that at the pumps, but that's not going to last for very long. With Hurricane Ida blowing through the Gulf and through southern Louisiana, that's the home, if you're not familiar with that, to a lot of refineries and petroleum holding tanks. I had seen that 95% of those were shut down. They were shut down. A lot of them, and you know, I don't know how long it's going to be before they're back up again, but AAA is looking at the spike in prices. As the supply shrinks, your gas price is going to rise. So my advice to you today, fill up, right? Fill that tank up. And get ready, because I think the prices will rise. They don't expect it to last very long, but it's still going to hurt the old pocketbook. And that is for sure. And again, as I said to you just a moment ago, let us pray for those in the eye of this particular storm. I want to pray for those out west who are being choked by, you know, flames and smoke. But Hurricane Ida came roaring ashore into Louisiana yesterday and had winds of 150 miles an hour. 150 miles an hour. That's a monstrous storm, and it landed exactly. When I talk about signs, when I talk about strangeness, is it coincidence? Is there more to the picture than meets the eye? Anniversaries? That storm, Hurricane, had 150-mile-per-hour winds, landed exactly on the 16th anniversary when that unbelievably destructive, disastrous hurricane known as Katrina hit. That storm proved to be a disaster because of the horrendous logistics of both state and national levels. You remember that was a fiasco. A lot of people suffered. A lot of people lost their lives. Either those left the entire city of New Orleans without power, and that's tough. There's been one death attributed to the storm. And my heart went out to Governor John Bell. Remember we talked about him last week? He called his people to prayer and to fasting, you know, because of the COVID pandemic and how rampant it was. And this poor guy. Yeah, the citizens of that state are very lucky. Governor Edwards, I have a lot of respect to you. You know, he says that because of the level of destruction, you can expect the number of fatalities to decline. So he's dealing with a mess, you know, in his state. And he said that the levees that were built after Katrina, they performed well. So that's a little bit of good news. But Fox News is reporting that there was one levee breached. About 150 people are in danger now because of it. So the storm continuing to rise in terms. Hurricane Ida actually, as I was sharing, brought gasoline refining production to a halt. I know that probably has got your attention. Maggie and I were talking about before the program. I wonder how high it's going to go. And depending what states you go to, gas can really have a wide range of cost. But here's what ABC was reporting about this and what you might see.
Generators are going at full capacity here in downtown New Orleans because the power is out, and there is widespread damage across the area, including at hospitals with COVID patients.
And sustained damage to their homes. We have a senior center, independent living.
The storm surge and winds so powerful, they temporarily reversed the flow of the Mississippi River near New Orleans. The U.S. Geological Survey calling it extremely uncommon. Overnight, more than 1 million power customers in Louisiana and Mississippi were without electricity. Cameras capturing the moment, all of New Orleans went dark. Ida roaring ashore 16 years to the day after Hurricane Katrina. The storm, now a major test for the city's hurricane protection system, which was not in place when the levees failed during Katrina.
Will it be tested? Yes. But it was built for this moment.
So, you know, say a prayer. That's what I want to leave you with that, because I do believe prayer mitigates things and it does change things, especially for those who are without power, those who have lost homes, those who have lost businesses as a result of the damage down there. And pray for people to have virtue blossom in their heart. Looting. I mean, this is terrible. This is the United States of America. Looting may be a problem. I mean, I can't, you know, already people are suffering, and then others are going to go in and take what's not theirs. There are people who did not evacuate. They were warned to stay in their homes. Why? Well, they knew that there'd be looting. They're there. Some people stayed to defend against looters. Thousands of people outside the city are trapped. They're calling on the so-called Cajun Navy. I don't know if you're familiar with them, to come to their aid. The Cajun Navy is it's a civilian group of boat owners who have gone around the southeast before just to do search and rescue, and it's kind of cool. They call themselves a Cajun Navy. Right now, though, Ida is downgraded. It's a tropical storm. Winds are down about 45 miles an hour. I don't want to downplay that, though. Still pretty serious, right? A lot of precipitation moving northwards right now. And the National Hurricane Center predicts that it will soon become a tropical depression, and then it's going to move towards the Mid-Atlantic region. So you're going to get wet and then head back out to sea. So there's your update. Stay with me, though. When I come back, we'll talk more. In fact, I want to touch on Afghanistan. The Taliban now have $85 billion worth of American taxpayer-funded U.S. military equipment. Your money and my money. It drives me crazy when I see these yahoos carrying our weapons and wearing our uniforms, when I see, you know, our Humvees and our, you know, our technology in the hands of this nefarious group. We'll talk about that when we come back, but also we'll take a look at Afghanistan and the evacuation. Lawmakers from both parties right now have been clamoring for the Biden administration to do more to help those trapped outside the gates of Kabul airport, help these people get inside. When we come back, we'll give you an update on what's happening there, and I'll tell you what the Holy Father is calling for. The Holy Father addressed Afghanistan, and he has a message for you personally. When I come back, we'll get into that and more.
Your news, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All the news and issues now that are happening now.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. Always a delight to be here with you. Hey, the debacle in Afghanistan, it continues to unfold. Tomorrow, that self-imposed, totally artificial deadline that the president placed on getting our troops and our citizens and those Afghans who helped our troops out over the last 20 years get out of Afghanistan as the Taliban takes over the country, that is looming. Jen Psaki had a press conference earlier today. And she talked about the current state of evacuations in Afghanistan as this deadline approaches. Here's a quick snippet from her.
Well, as we're assessing, there are people, as the State Department goes through and calls or emails, who say, I have departed or I have left. That doesn't change the total number of evacuees that we have obviously provided to all of you every day on planes and transport. But right now, we're, of course, at the point where we are trying to assess and get a final number.
Here's what she had to say when somebody asked about the authority of the military to conduct drone strikes. As you know, you've probably seen We sent a drone up, and boy, they bizarre technology, scary technology. In order to limit collateral damage, it doesn't set off an explosion. It sets off, it triggers a series of blades. It's like a blade bomb. It's called the Ginzu bomb. You know, it's just, it gets right over its target, and then, poof, you know, you probably get lacerated to death, I'm assuming. Who knows? But people asked about the authority of the military to conduct those type of strikes that occurred last night. They took out a very prominent ISIS leader. So these drone attacks are continuing. Here's a little bit more what they had to say.
Well, I can tell you that the president has made clear to his commanders that they should stop at nothing to make ISIS pay for the deaths of those American service members at the Kabul airport. They have the authorities necessary. It is self-defense. Obviously, these are ISIS terrorists who killed U.S. service members. And the president is regularly briefed, but he has directed them to go after and to kill these ISIS terrorists who have taken the lives of the men and women serving our country.
That, of course, is Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary. Members of Congress were reporting over the weekend that their constituents were telling them that the State Department told them they could get to the Kabul airport and the only place where, you know, air traffic from U.S. is now allowed. And look, this has been a fiasco. I won't go through all the details of how we've given up airports and abandoned embassies and left unbelievable technology behind, but there were apparently no flights out of the country yesterday. And there were also reports, and Maggie was talking about this last Friday, that Glenn Beck and others have actually raised money, millions, tens of millions of dollars, chartered private planes to go in and to get our U.S. citizens out. But then the State Department said, hold on, we're putting an end to that. They told neighboring countries not to allow private U.S. planes into their countries to refuel. And I'm torn on this one. I mean, I guess if I'm going to take the side of the State Department, you don't want other innocent civilians, you know, or ex-military or people who are willing to go in and get their fellow American shot out of the air or killed. We don't want more blood spilled in that country. But on the other side of the equation, and I've seen many expatriates, many ex-military, say, look, we're not going to leave anybody behind. We are not going to do it. And throughout the week, I've been saying, I just can't imagine the Biden administration leaving U.S. troops behind, U.S. citizens behind, let alone our, you know, Afghan partners, those who helped us. There's got to be covert missions. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to push this deadline by. Tomorrow is the final day. You probably will never know about the missions, of course, a lot of the secret ones, but again, I thought, you know, there's a lot of politics going on. The optics of this, the exchanges over television and social media are one thing. If for some reason Americans are left behind, there'll be a call for the resignation of this president. I'm convinced of it. I am certainly convinced of it. Some people are wondering how Kamala Harris will ultimately do. You know, the chain of command, it goes from the president to the vice president, Kamala. And for some reason, something happens to her. You've got the Speaker of the House. You imagine Nancy Pelosi as well as the President of the United States? Who knows? And it goes through a whole litany of other people as well. But there's a lot of concern on the ground right now for these so-called kill lists. And there are names of people that our government gave to the Taliban of both citizens and Afghans who helped us out during the war. And again, I mean, I am not working for the DOD or the State Department. But I just find that absolutely insane. You give them passport numbers, you give them addresses, and that's supposedly so that when they come to the Taliban, the terrorist checkpoint, they're supposed to be working with the U.S., that you would be let through. Do you think that's going to happen? You know, they're already beating people. They're already tearing up passports. They're beating kids' children who are just trying to get out of that country. I mean, the horror stories, and I won't go into them now, are just, they're terrible. You're going to hear more of these, especially after August 31st. But you know, I want to tip my hat to anybody who is willing to risk their lives to go into a very dangerous area and try to save lives. And Glenn Beck did that. They raised a lot of money. Beck didn't go in, but they raised money to send people in to try to extradite a lot of these people. Here's Maggie, open your mic, would you? Because you were the one who turned me on to this. I didn't realize Beck was doing this for a while, but tell us what he's doing, and let's play a little bit of his audio.
Yeah, so this audio was from last week on his podcast. He's talking to the CEO of the Nazarene Fund, which is the organization that he put together to get these people out of Afghanistan. So they apparently, you know, had no problem raising the funds, getting the planes over to Afghanistan, having the staff to man all of that operation. But their biggest challenge here was dealing with the State Department, who's refusing to do anything to help them.
Do you know if they said why?
No.
I don't know that either. I mean, I understand maybe it's just for the safety of other people coming. That has got to be it. But if they were effective in getting people out, but for the State Department, tell other countries, don't even refuel their planes.
Yeah, that just seems like hampering in action. I don't understand it.
So yeah, what did he do? What did he say?
So I clipped a little bit of their interview here. And it's them just talking about their efforts with getting people out of Afghanistan and what they've been running into.
Love to hear it.
So we're getting our first 340 passengers out as we speak. The plane is getting ready to take off.
It's on the ground. It's on the ground and being loaded?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
So that's good news. A lot of the people that are boarding are extremely dehydrated. We had to move aprons because the tarmac is covered in feces. There are over 16,000 people inside the airfield. It's an absolute mess. The outside gate was just closed because of IED threats from ISIS. Taliban are blocking people on the outside perimeter of the airport and not allowing them through.
President Biden says that there's no harm coming to U.S. citizens or people that are trying to get in, that they're not being beaten by the Taliban or anything else. Can you?
I think that's completely false.
Okay.
That is completely and unequivocally false. Everything that's come out of this administration has been nothing but lies. Right now, our biggest obstruction has not been, you know, our ability to extract people, but it's been the U.S. State Department that's been obstructing. We cannot get a single person in the State Department to support us on the diplomatic front. Right now, different countries that want to take people or have agreed to take people are requesting diplomatic notes from the State Department that when they arrive, you know, 1, 2, 3 will happen. And the State Department keeps telling us we will not write any notes. We will not give you any support whatsoever. So we're in the middle of diplomatic wranglings trying to figure out when we go rotate planes in to take them out, where we're going to take them to next destination. So we're in concert talking to.
We have countries that will take them. Why is our State Department not willing to say, yes, you can move them?
They've been the biggest obstruction. I mean, guys in DOD that I'm working with are leaning forward in the saddle to help us, but the State Department, not a single soul in there is being helpful whatsoever. I understand a lot of congressmen and senators are angry. They're writing letters and they're trying to get things moving, but it's been extremely slow. I've never, ever in my entire life seen anything so messed up and so discombobulated. It's just been a nightmare for us.
Yeah. Again, I want to thank Maggie for grabbing that audio there. That's, of course, Glenn Beck. He was talking with somebody who really didn't answer his last question. Why is the State Department doing this? You know, why are they shutting down people who are trying to get our citizens out? CNN's Jake Tapper. He had an interview the other day, or maybe it was he actually tweeted out that two private citizens involved in evacuation efforts were telling him, okay, they're telling Tapper that the Taliban, that these checkpoints in Afghanistan, they're now turning away U.S. passport holders and lawful permanent residents of the U.S. You know, so they're turning them around, warding them off. You know, it's a terrible situation. Andrea is listening in Illinois. She's got a follow-up on some of the audio we just played and some of the civilian attempts to rescue our fellow Americans. Andrea, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just want to let you know, because I'm sure Glenn Beck would want someone to say this, that he is working, the Nazarene Fund is working in conjunction with another organization largely called the Mighty Oaks Foundation, which supports military families. And together, those groups with other smaller groups have been working for over a week to get out as many as they can. He is unable to give information right. as to details All as right. to where and how, but he gives daily updates. And as of this morning, he said right. they've evacuated over 12,000.
Wow. So the number's even higher than we just heard. That's fantastic. Hey, look, thank you.
And they're not.
No, go ahead.
And they're, the Nazarene Fund, the purpose, I'm sure you know, yeah. is largely to remove Christians who are slated for
yeah.
death.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, actually. What's going to happen to those Christians after the U.S. is out? I've got grave concern. There'll be a lot of martyrs, I'm afraid. Thank you. Keep me in the loop, too. As you hear things, please pass it along to us. I'm grateful for your call. Look, people are outraged. 85, I think it was a poll. And again, don't quote me on this. I pulled this from the recesses of my head. I'd heard something, I think it was earlier today, that they surveyed Americans saying, hey, where do you stand on whether or not we should stay to get our troops out? 85% of Americans, blue and red, right, said we should stay. We should get every last U.S. American out. So the nation is saying this, right? Top U.S. lawmakers are all saying to the president right now, they're accusing him of not helping our fellow Americans who are trapped outside the gates of the airport in Kabul. They're not helping them get inside. Maggie, what are you seeing? You're seeing 70% is the number of people who...
70%. Yeah.
What's that poll say?
Of Americans support U.S. withdrawal, getting all the allies out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I'm with them. I thought it was higher. That's great, though. So you're talking 3 out of 4 almost. U.S. citizens are not allowed into the airport. I don't know if you know Mike. Representative Dan Crenshaw, he's a Republican from Texas, a former Navy SEAL. He tweeted late Saturday night, it's been impossible, he said, to get anyone through in the last 24 hours, that the administration's lying about their intent to save Americans and that it's unforgivable. I mean, I am so tired of being lied to. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know if your frustration level gets up there as well. I mean, we had nonstop talk about the Capitol storming. I understand that, right? They immediately wanted to impeach the president. You're going to leave Americans behind? You're not going to find some sort of way to get our citizens out? U.S. citizens are not allowed into the Kabul International Airport. That's what Representative Mike Waltz, he's a representative from Florida. He's a former colonel, a U.S. Army Green Beret. He sent out a tweet. He said, look, Biden's ordered the gates closed. Our fellow Americans are soon going to be left behind. He says it's unbelievable and unforgivable. Unforgivable. And as I said, there are other outlets. You know, Beck is one of those, but there's a lot of people, there's a lot of ex-military who are also going in an effort to get these citizens out. Representative Ronnie Jackson, he's a Republican out of Texas. He said that he was reporting on the information he's getting from the ground, and they are hearing that those who are trying to get through these Taliban checkpoints, they're told, leave and come back with large sums of money. They need something like $1,400. To get through the checkpoint. They're being bribed to get through. Where do you come up with $1,400 when you're in Afghanistan? And what if you're an Afghani, right? What if you, I mean, that's a lot of money. Can you do that? Maybe you can. But can you imagine, you know, you're in a foreign nation, it's war-torn, and they're saying, go back, you want to get through, and then you got to come up with a large sum of money. So, they're, like I said, they're beating people, they're killing them. It's just an absolute mess. So I'll tell you what. When I come back, I know this can seem overwhelming. It can be very confusing, very disappointing. As a nation, we've been embarrassed with our allies. We have been humiliated on the world scene. China's flexing its muscles, sending messages to Taiwan and to other places, right? The Holy Father came out today, and he addressed this issue. He addressed it. And when I come back, I will share with you what he had to say. He's giving us a solution. He's giving us an answer. He's giving us some insight. And I think if we respond to something very simple, he said, something very simple, we'll see lives saved. We'll see hearts changed, and we'll see great changes. So stay with me. When we come back, I'll fill you in on the Holy Father, take a few more of your calls, and of course, in about 15 minutes, we'll pray the chapel. So tell one other person. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
All things current. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, good to be back. I need a little calming music here. I get fired up. I do. I get all fired up. Oh, boy. It's good to be here. We'll pray coming up in a moment, too, with you. And, of course, I would invite you to tell your friends, if you could, or your loved ones, or somebody that's in need of prayer. I think there's a power when we're united in our prayer. And I'll share with you maybe something that happened to me. I've been asking for prayers for something, and God's answer was no. I don't like that. That doesn't go over too well, but, you know, who likes no, right? But sometimes no means there's a better yes, I think, waiting. And I'm waiting on the Lord's yes. But I'll tell you what. Let me fill you in on one other thing we can do right now. I'm going to tell you about what the Holy Father is saying. And he had a he has his finger on the pulse. I don't think there's anybody more connected than the Pope, really, when it comes to what's going on around the world. I mean, you think about U.S. intelligence and CIAs and spy agencies. The Vatican's pretty connected. They've got people in every parish, in every city, in every town. They know what's happening, and it can trickle up. The Holy Father's been following the situation in Afghanistan with great concern. And Sunday, he said, look, I share the suffering of those who mourn for the people who lost their lives in that suicide attack. He said on Thursday, those who are seeking help and protection. Can you imagine knowing that you might die? I mean, that you're not going to get out, that the U.S. has given your name, your address, your information, and you're going to be hunted down. Your family is probably going to be killed. Your wife or daughters will be sexual slaves or sold. You know, who knows what's going to happen? Terrifying thought. And the clock continues to tick. Almost 200 people were killed in the suicide bombing at Kabul airport last week. Thousands of people are still desperately waiting to get out of the country. As Islamic, you know, terrorism, as the Islamist Taliban has just totally grabbed control over that entire country. So I ask everyone, he says, to continue to assist those in need, to pray that the dialogue and the solidarity may lead to the establishment of a peaceful and fraternal coexistence and offer hope for the future of the country. Pope insisted, he says, that in historical moments, we cannot remain indifferent. You know, we as Christians have a duty, he says, a duty to respond. So here's what he said. It's a really simple solution. Really simple solution. I appeal to everyone to intensify prayer and practice fasting. Prayer and fasting, prayer and penance, the Holy Father said. Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to do it. He says, intensify your prayer, intensify the practice of fasting. And then he concluded with this. He says, ask the Lord for mercy. Ask the Lord for mercy. The Lord told Faustina, the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to his mercy. Right? So look, Maggie sent me a text over the weekend, and she's like, to my whole producing team, to another producer on the team too, and she says, why don't we fast on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you know, for the Holy Father? And I'll tell you, I'm dying right now. Right, Maggie? You saw me.
You're popping gum in your mouth.
Right, so I had to have at least a piece of gum. You know, I need to get my blood sugar's going to go down. I've got 3 hours out of me.
I get you.
So, but we're going to offer the fast, and we're going to do it for those who have a lot less than us. God takes our prayers, and he amplifies them, of course. So, yeah. Is that call still there, Patrick, on three, or did that go away? All right, and maybe I'll take a call or two if you want to join us. 888-914-9149. Did the call who was disgusted by me go away, or are they still there? I can't see it. Let me get Kevin on. Let's see what he has to say. Give him a chance to sound off. Kevin, hi. How you doing, man?
I'm not good. I think it's disgusting that you or anybody else would think that any U.S. president, Biden or Trump, if Trump was still, wouldn't try to get every single American out. Maybe we just don't know all the answers. We want to hear sometimes, Drew, I know you're a big fan of Trump and adore him.
That's not true. I don't know.
He's the one that started this of getting people out. So Biden's just continue it. It's a mess. It was going to be a mess no matter what happened. But to think any president wouldn't want every American out, that is pretty low.
Kevin, let's talk about it for a minute. First of all, I never disclosed my political affiliation on the air. I did champion Trump's pro-life stand, and I think he did a lot of good for the country. And I have highlighted Joe Biden's disconnect from his Catholic faith and the things he's done to advance the culture of death. So I have fundamental problems. I've been very clear on them. I did say at the very beginning of the conversation that, and I've said this throughout the week, you can go back to the previous podcast and listen. I've said many times, I said, look, I can't imagine the president or anybody in the U.S. leaving fellow citizens behind. I thought this was part of a way to placate the Taliban, let them think we're leaving on the 31st, so they would cooperate with us in getting our troops out. Come tomorrow, we're going to see that deadline move or something else is going to take place. That has always been my position here. But honestly, there were some fundamental mistakes that have taken place. We've abandoned embassies. We left $85 billion worth of military armament there. We had other airports that we could have held and maintained. We withdrew troops. And look what's happened. I think there's been a dereliction of duty and just a terrible response from whoever is either pulling the strings or directing this current president as to how he should conduct himself. That was an arbitrary number, the 31st. He could have moved it to later. He says, I need another 2 weeks to get my troops out. The Taliban said no. I would have said, well, then you want us back in your country? We're coming back. So that's how I stand. That's how I view it, Kevin. So that's where that was my perspective.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, brother. Thanks for calling. And like I always appreciate an honest opposite view, you know, and just an honest exchange. We'll see what happens. I mean, to Kevin's point, and I'll reiterate it again. I've said it multiple times. I can't imagine the United States of America leaving anybody behind. That's not who we are. That's just not who we are. Although you can see U.S. military packing up, getting ready to leave. I know that there'll be secret missions we'll never hear about. We'll see whether the line gets moved. But just let's talk about this just for a second, and then I'll move on. If we would have come out earlier, if Biden would have said, we're not leaving on the 31st unless we get all of our people out, we're moving it back, you might have seen more, you know, terrorist suicide bombings. You know, you might have seen the Taliban tear up more passports or not let people through. So I really do think it was a game of politics. I'm an observer of all things. And when I was watching some of the press conferences with spokespersons from the Department of Defense and from, you know, different agencies, you could see how they danced around these issues when they were asked challenging questions about the Taliban. Like, why are you working with a terrorist organization? And, you know, do you think it's a good idea to let them handle security? And, I mean, that's just common sense. Of course, it's a terrible idea. But you could see their diplomacy trying to play out. Tomorrow is a big day. And I'll tell you what, tomorrow, if you tune into this hour, I'll unpack it for you. The deadline for the Afghan departure is tomorrow. I'll also look at what's coming for those who are left behind. We're going to unpack that tomorrow here as well. So always just try to give you an honest look. You know, I don't ever claim to be right 100%. And just try to read the winds, you know, and see what's coming, see what's looming. When we come back, let's pray. All right. I really want to pray. I got some good news for you. Cardinal Burke, who we've been praying for, issued a statement. And it was a statement of thanks to not just those who took care of him, all those healthcare professionals, but an issue of thanks to you, all of those who prayed for him. And he thanked, of course, the Lord, who should be thanked. But he said, you know, God brought him to that point of healing and recovery. And since the initial reports were that he was very ill with COVID-19, he has been transferred from ICU, taken off a ventilator, to a hospital room, and he continues his recovery. So good news on the front of Cardinal Burke. When we come back, I've got a few lines open. We will pray, and the number to get in is 888-914-9149. And again, I'll say this. You can email, you can tweet, you can text, you can DM, you can instant message, you can do whatever you want. Tell one other person who's really gone through a tough time, saying, why don't you just listen to the chaplain? Maybe they don't want to pray, or ask them to pray. I got a phone call from a guest on my radio program last night, and I didn't read it. I was late. I was not feeling great last night, believe it or not. So I just kind of didn't even have my phone in. I stuck it on a shelf somewhere, and I didn't look at it till early in the morning. And this person said, would you please pray the chaplain for me? He says, I have COVID again, and my heart is racing, and I may end up having to go to the emergency room. So I told him I would bring that intention to you. He asked me to keep his name anonymous just because there might be some ramifications for it, for going public. But you know him. You've heard him many times. And if you could pray for that soul when we come back, I know he would be very, very grateful. All right? It's top of the hour. It's the hour of powers, I like to call it, the hour of divine mercy. As the Pope said, let's ask God for mercy, for it is mercy that is the balm and the remedy to the problems of the world. And as the Lord told St. Faustina, the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to his mercy.